Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
Welcome to the show. How's everybody today? Just raise your hand. Thumbs up. Sideways thumb. Thumbs down.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too. Scott and Jill Carter are our guests for this segment today, and we want to introduce you to them. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Boomer Radio, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us. Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Where are you guys? Where are you located? I'm just curious.
We're in Utah.
Oh, okay. I knew that.
Now that we're empty nesters, we're nomads. So we've lived in California, Utah, Chicago. We've been all over.
I know you miss your kids because I miss mine, but isn't it kind of cool to be an empty nester?
So cool.
Ooh, hopefully they won't hear this.
No. Well, we are talking to Scott and Jill Carter. They are the authors of You Got This. It is a book. It's your million-dollar path to financial freedom. Welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
I want to, first of all, talk to each of you about your backgrounds. Like, Scott, what is your background?
I have been a business executive my entire life. I am one-dimensional. I came out of college with a business degree. I started in financial services at a company that most people know called Allstate Insurance Company.
Yeah.
And I was in the 80s, they called us corporate soldiers. They moved us around as we gained experience around the country in different offices, and moved up the ranks in operations and underwriting and marketing, and had an opportunity to start my own business within financial services, which I jumped on. And that kind of led me down more of an entrepreneurial path, and ultimately led me to the current industry I'm in, which is for investors and boomers and others to learn how to balance their portfolio, to diversify into physical assets as well as equities and bonds. So that's what I've been doing, and along the way, been married for 30 years to
Congratulations.
Jill, the boss.
That's right, I'm the boss. And
I haven't been
quite as one-dimensional. I started my career as a corporate attorney and was a corporate soldier for a while, but then I jumped into a startup e-book company, of all things, and then was the executive director of a not-for-profit for a period of time, and now I'm back in the corporate world building some businesses with Scott. So I have been a little bit more multidimensional than my husband.
She's the right price when it comes to hiring someone in business. I can tell you that. But I've got a deal. She's a little bit more sassy in talking back than most employees. But you know, it's the positive and the negative.
I have the right to be.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we've just established that you're obviously smart people. I just wanted folks to, you know, get a little idea, sense of that. So cool. Thanks for giving us those details. So the book, You've Got This, Your Million-Dollar Path to Financial Freedom, Retirement Reality. Let's do a reality check for retirement for baby boomers listening to the show and maybe even those who are younger. We're just not ready, are we?
No, I'll start. No, as a culture, as a generation, we're not ready. I'm sure there are many that are and have been more prudent about planning. But if you look on the averages, we have very much saved in our retirement. Very, very little saved in our retirement, and we're now not quite at the high point of boomers retiring. There are 10,000 boomers a day retiring, and that's going to go on for 10 years at least. Mm-hmm. I'm a boomer, obviously, but I'm toward the tail end of it. But we've tended to live, you know, richly in the environment we are now, not going without much of anything. And it's going to put a strain on not only our personal retirement and what we need to do, but, you know, there's also going to be a strain on some of the institutions, such as our Social Security system, Medicare, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's what encouraged Jill and I to get out there and to help individuals sort of take charge of it. You know, don't be disappointed or discouraged. If you look this in the eye and put a plan together, you know, you can really recover, and you should be encouraged by that. And you should be encouraged by the fact that we're going to live a long time. I mean, most of us, you know, if health holds, we're going to be living into 90s or even mid-90s. So it's a It's a challenge. It's a challenge for the country and certainly for boomers, but it's not an impossible challenge if we focus on it.
I like the positive attitude. I think many boomers just don't want to think about it, and they just simply ignore retirement like it's not going to happen. But we know it is.
Well, that's right. Not only do we know it is that because I speak around the country to investment groups, and when I start talking about retirement, you can just see in the audience, the one, you know, culturally, I think men kind of bear the responsibility, that not necessarily in the right way, but they feel like they're supposed to take care of the family financially. And I can see the panic in their eyes when we start talking about what have you saved for retirement. It's almost as if they could say, would you shut up? Do not bring this up. I don't want to have the missus peppering me with questions that I can't answer, because they feel like maybe they've let the family unit down. And I get that. I understand that pressure. So you're right. We don't talk about it because it's not, you know, it's not a great topic to understand, and we don't really like to talk about, you know, retirement because we associate it with the end or with death.
Right,
but
you're right.
Let me jump in and say, for women listening, it is critical that you partner on your finances with your spouse, because if both of you have your heads in the sand, it's going to be doubly bad when it hits and you realize that you don't have enough money to live throughout retirement in the way that you want. So I love to encourage women all across the country to get involved if they are not involved. This is not something you can abdicate just to one party if you happen to be married or in a significant relationship. You have to both really understand carefully what you have and what you're going to need as you live in your retirement years.
I read an article the other day that talked about the fact that majority of boomers will be single.
Mm.
Are you familiar with that concept? Or
yes, and actually, as women, we are going to live longer than men, and unfortunately for us, many of us are less prepared because of a variety of reasons, first of which is some of us have stepped out of the workplace for a few years, and so our retirement accounts are typically not as large as men's are. And the other thing, which is not something I like, and that is still that women in many cases haven't been paid as much as men for the same job. So because of that, our retirement accounts and the things that were being contributed in by employers were just less. So, you know, a lot of women who will be single in retirement have to really be careful, because they need to understand how they need to catch up and make some hard choices now in order to live a more comfortable life throughout retirement.
And your book covers that.
And we do. Yeah, we do cover that. And we cover the fact that you need to have a portfolio in place that anticipates that. Because if you're of the mindset that says, well, look, I'm just going to keep working until I'm 75 or 80, and that's how we're going to pay the bills because we haven't saved enough in our retirement. And in many respects, that is an accurate statement. But the fact is that as we get along in years, health isn't always in our favor, and you end up being, you know, one individual that may not be the breadwinner or may not be doing the primary work that's generating the income could be the one who survives the other. And that's why it's important to have what I would call income that is passive or not directly related to hours work. It could be rental income. It could be an annuity, you know, like a Social Security, only more arrows in the quiver, just in case that, you know, one of you is left with having to generate income and not being able to work.
Interesting. Sounds like diversify.
Absolutely. You have to diversify. And you can't count on the idea that somehow I'm going to make it up in the last 3 or 4 years. Retirement is one of the few items that you have to plan and prepare and allow compound interest and multiple earning years to achieve your goal. If you wait even, you know, a short period of time, 4 or 5 years to get started, it has a material impact on your overall balance as you get older.
And I love that you said diversify, because parts parts of the book talk about the things that Scott and I did wrong, and we share that very openly with people in the book and all over the country when we speak, because we don't want people to make the same mistakes we did. And one of the biggest mistakes we made was not being diversified when the Great Recession hit. And virtually almost overnight, we lost 50% of our net worth.
Was that 2008?
In 2008, because we were not diversified. We were doubling down in only equities and only certain equities. And when it crashed, we crashed with it. And it took us years to make that up. And the only way we survived is that we were happened to be both, you know, high-earning executives in our 40s and could get back. But we're in situations now as boomers that none of us can afford to not be diversified, because we're at the top of a market that's going to correct, and we've got to be ready for that. And diversification and rebalancing is critical. And we spent a whole chapter in the book talking about that.
Okay.
And there's an investment term called sequencing, which basically says the timing of when you enter the market has a huge impact on your return. And if your sequencing is off, if you jump into the market in a material way when the market, if this were a baseball game, is in the eighth or ninth inning, you are going to suffer the biggest loss, and you'll have the average is 22 years before you can recoup where you were.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, the eighth or ninth inning, because it's almost too late. I mean, it's never really too late, but the sooner the better.
Well, that's true. And it's not only the eighth or ninth inning in your retirement planning, but the market timing, the market sequencing is we're in the eighth or ninth inning of a bull market. And that's, you know, we've had a wonderful bull market. But if you have been slow to the draw to jump in to get a return since 2009 and 10, and now finally you're sitting here in 2018 and say, aha, I'm now going to jump into the market with 80% of my retirement funds and I'm going to make my return now, that's not a great strategy, because we'll probably have hopefully a mild one, but we'll have it correct. We're in business cycles. There'll be at least a 15-20% correction. And if you time that wrong, if your sequencing's wrong and you're close to retirement, it'll have a huge impact. So be wise is what we're trying to say when you diversify in the assets you're in, how you allocate them, because it makes a big difference.
We are talking to Scott and Jill Carter. They are the authors of You Got This, Your $1 Million Path to Financial Freedom. We're going to come back in just a moment, and we're going to crunch some numbers and help you figure out, we'll help you determine your wealth, we'll help you plan your financial freedom, and oh so much more. So keep it right here on Freedom 95, Boomer Radio. We'll be right back.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio on Freedom 95.
Welcome back. We are talking with authors Scott and Jill Carter. You Got This is the name of the book, Your $1 Million Path to Financial Freedom. Both of them have experience in financial worlds and being executives, saving money, losing money. We discussed some of that in our last segment. We're going to now kind of jump forward, flipping through the chapters in your book and some of the different things I read. There are a lot of different numbers to crunch, ways to figure out what you might need. Maybe some of our listeners are a little younger, even if you are a baby boomer. You know, we know financial worries are stressful. You talk about that in your book. Jill is more of a, you know, chill out, you know, stop worrying. Scott, you're more of a don't be frightened by the size of the task kind of guy, right?
That is correct, yes.
Work the problem, we always say. Work the problem.
Work the problem. Well, what's the first step to working the problem, Jill?
I think the first step is, first of all, figuring out what you're going to need in retirement. And we use an easy calculation, one of two. One is, okay, if you think you're going to need, let's use an example, $100,000 a year, that's what you're going to need to live on. That's what you want to live on. You need to take that and multiply it by 25, and that gets you a ballpark of what you're going to need.
Wow.
To live. So that would be $2.5 million. And before everybody chokes on that, we walk you very systematically through what do you already have. And one of the big things that most of us have is Social Security.
Mm.
And that can amount to about $1 million of that $2.5 million. So we do already have some things that we have paid into and that are in place and for us to use. But so first step, figure out what you think you're going to need, and then start working through your own numbers. And this is where it all got really fun for Scott and I as a couple to...
Fun's a relative term.
I was going to say, is fun really the word?
But, you know, we had to leave the knives in the drawer, and we had to actually start budgeting. We had to put a budget together. And I, for one, have... I always have hated that word budget, so I call it cash management. So we have learned a very important step in preparing for retirement is you got to figure out everything that's coming in and everything that's going out. Mm-hmm. It's that simple, and that's really what budgeting is. And so it doesn't have to be this dark, dreary thing you do, and, you know, and I still get to get my hair blow-dried every once in a while. As long as Scott keeps buying golf clubs, I'm
going to
keep
Amen.
My hair blow-dried and colored.
I made a rookie mistake in this planning process for the guys that are listening. It's like, don't lead with your chin and start attacking expenses that your spouse might be spending. I was looking down the list and said, well, what is a dry bar? Who in the world needs a dry bar? You go someplace to have somebody else blow out your hair? Got a blow dryer here, I can do it. That was a mistake, because what I realized is that I spend a lot more money on golf clubs and my little nunny things that I like than she ever does on getting her hair done. So guys, don't make chapter one rookie mistake. You know, let her start off on the trim job, and then you can figure out, you know, finding the right balance as a couple.
And it's about compromise as well in that department, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one thing I'll point out, and again, this is an indictment on Jill and me as much as it is on anybody else, is that, you know, try to go without a few things. Do I really have to buy a new car or a nicer car every 2 years? Mm. You know, do I have to use any cash we put away? Do I really need that? Do I need new golf clubs all the time? What are we doing that is nice? And if you've got, you know, a bunch of discretionary funds and income and it's not going to impact your retirement, of course. But if you want to know the big ticket items that can free up money, and it really doesn't change your lifestyle at all, you won't miss it at all, start looking at the niceties that you give yourself,
right,
small and large, and set those aside. Pay yourself first in retirement, and then if there's money left, then, yeah, absolutely go out for that. But don't spend it all now and living large today when you're 75 and you don't have the flexibility to earn as much money. You're going to rue that decision that you made 25 years prior.
No, I can appreciate that, and I think about myself. Mary Pat, I don't know if you're thinking about you, but, like, one of my things was, like, I wanted a new purse every season, a new one. I need a new purse every season, every spring, every fall, you know, and then it's like, no, you really don't. So I started rotating them. In fact, I pulled one that I haven't used in about 3 years. I had a check in it. It was for like $300. I'm like, what? But that's a little thing. I mean, the blow drying the hair, the golf clubs, the purses.
Those are little things.
But they add up.
I'm on the calculator.
You're on the calculator. Oh, Mary Pat's figuring out her calculator right now. Oh, good. We're going to get back to you and find out. Get what your numbers are crunched, Mary Pat. But yes, I get
I
your point.
I think that we lull ourselves to sleep by saying, well, when I retire, I'm not going to want to do anything, so I won't need nearly as much money. But that's just a mistake. When boomers retire, many times we're still very healthy. And now you've got all this free time and you want to travel and you want to go see the kids or the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to live like a monk when you retire if you've been living well and enjoying life while you've been working. So, you know, we encourage people to don't get too aggressive on what you think you're going to need in retirement on the wrong side, you know, and build a plan that gives you the income so you can enjoy retirement. And, you know, the second career, if you will, it's supposed to be enjoyable. You've worked hard all your life. You've raised a family, probably paid for college.
Mm-hmm.
You've just been grinding it out. Taking the responsibility that you need to take in community and family and everywhere else, why would we want a dire, you know, years of 15, 20 years where we're stressed about not being able to do things we like to do.
Amen to that. And I think of all those things and check all the boxes.
Or depend on our children.
Oh, yeah. I don't ever want to have to depend on the kids. Ugh. Don't ever want to have to do that.
The biggest fear we hear. One of the biggest fears is, well, first one's obviously I'm afraid I'm going to run out of money. Mm-hmm. The second is I don't want to be a burden on my kids.
Right. Wow.
And therefore, that's why we're saying, well, be encouraged, even if you're 60, all right? Mm-hmm. You know, 65, even though that's technically, or 66, what we say is retirement age, it's really not. It's not for boomers. I mean, you know, and you can just see it in all walks of life, whether it's in politics or business or what have you. Very, very many people are strong and vibrant and leaders at 70 and 75 years old. So you have time to put money away if you focus on it and put a plan together.
How do you go about putting that plan together? I know that's a big question, but...
Well, I'll start and then Jill can jump in. That's okay. One of the reasons why we put the, you know, within the book, you've actually got a workbook that's mm-hmm. embedded in it.
Yep, it's
because
great.
If you start with the end in mind and you start to fill in some of the pieces, like how much am I going to need? What can I count on with regard to what we call retirement anchors, Social Security, an annuity if you put money in, a pension if you had a pension where you worked at a company and had a pension. Those are not going to go away. Maybe your home equity. So you've got some retirement anchors that add up to a certain amount. And what we do is we calculate what they'll be worth in 10 years or 15 years mm-hmm. when you plan to retire. And what we try to do is get to a number that is your financial freedom number, is what do I have to save between now and the day I want to retire so that I've got a portfolio that will throw off the amount of income I want to earn, which, as Jill uses as an example, $100,000 a year.
And I think importantly, it's not just what am I going to have to save, because what we're realizing is as people are living longer, they need more money because we're gonna live in retirement a lot more years. So we walk people through how are there going to be more ways to generate more income, not just through savings, but through working, through starting new businesses, through doing a side job. We live in something that we call a gig economy now. There are a lot of gigs out there that people can jump in and do, even while they still have a career, that helps generate more income and helps us better prepare for those retirement years. So as Scott said, it's a very systematic approach within the book that says, okay, you need to think about these things, and we walk them through them very simply to help people say, okay, yeah, I'm going to have to pull a couple ripcords, or, oh no, I think I am going to be okay if I do the following five things. How mm-hmm. am I going to spend less, save more, generate more income, and invest wisely? There are four quadrants that we help people put a plan together for. As we said earlier, we really want people to not panic. We want them to work the problem and be encouraged that it is a workable problem, no matter what your age and stage of life.
It sounds very reasonable. Again, we're talking with Scott and Jill Carter. The book is called You Got This, Your $1 Million Path to Financial Freedom. They lay it out. It's a simple plan. Page 58 has kind of your workbook beginning in there. I would encourage you to get it. Can we get this on Amazon, guys?
Yes, you can.
Okay, very good. We're running out of time, so I just want to thank you so much for your very sensible approach and positive attitude to all this and helping people determine their wealth and financial freedom plan. Book is great. Mary Pat, I'm looking across the room at somebody she does Airbnb, she has rental property. Smart, smart, smart lady.
Very smart. Mm-hmm. She's figured it out. Way to go.
Yes. Thank you very much for having us.
All right. And we thank you. And we hope to talk to you again sometime. You're listening to Boomer Radio. And now Dick Wolfsey with Life in a Nutshell.
My wife and I were planning a trip to Florida to visit Mary Ellen's old high school friend. But Joy's husband was unexpectedly called out of town on business. Stephen and I usually play golf together, so I was a bit disappointed. But a change in scenery and time to read on the beach still sounded enjoyable. "You're still welcome to come along," said Mary Ellen when she heard the news about Stephen's absence. As you're reading this, please say the phrase, "You're still welcome to come along," about six different ways, and just try to make it sound like I really was still welcome to come along. Well, do you want me to come with you? I asked my wife point blank. I had put Mary Ellen in an awkward position. My wife always tells the truth, which in this case would probably have hurt my feelings, but at least we'd save on a plane ticket. It's not that I don't want you to join me, she began, but don't you think it would be good for our relationship to spend a little time apart? Now I was the one in the awkward position. Now suppose I said, yes, that's a great idea, Mary Ellen. Well, you never mentioned this before, Dick. How long have you felt this way? Maybe we should have taken separate vacations long before this. I thought you liked my friend Joy. Of course, I could have said, no, Mary Ellen, I'd still like to go. Then she would have said, and what are you going to do all day long when Joy and I are talking about old times? I don't want you to be grumpy the whole trip and feel ignored. I certainly would be okay if you visited one of your friends without me. Okay, I said. How about my friend Eric, who lives in Paris? That was a good one. I wish you could have seen the expression on her face. The bottom line is that Mary Ellen is off to Florida, and I get to stay home and be a bachelor for a week. That, of course, is one of the dumbest expressions ever uttered by a married man. There's only one thing I would want to do if I really could be a bachelor for a week, and I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want to eat my dinner standing up at the sink. My biggest concern when my wife leaves is that I have no clue how to use our TV remotes. We have one for Apple TV, one for the DVR, we have a DVD player remote, and of course, regular TV. Mary Ellen told me to gather all the remotes in the house and practice. How are you doing? She asked as I fiddled with each device. Did you successfully change any channels? No, I said, but I opened and closed the garage door several times. I hope Joy and Mary Ellen have a good time together. I also hope Stephen and I see each other soon. I sent him a text inviting him to come here to Indy to play golf, just the two of us. And I also told him he has a standing invitation for dinner.